Christians, or is that another burden amongst us?
I think there's still much to get from this chapter.
Might start at verse 15, but we could maybe comment a little bit on verse 14 again, if it's necessary.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
If anyone had any questions on what we've previously gone over, I just encourage you, don't be afraid to ask, just because it seems like it's going back a few verses.
I do have a question I'd like to ask, and that has to do with a previous verse, verse 7, where it speaks about forgiveness of sins. My question is related to that and what it says in Romans 4, that God justifies the ungodly. Is there a difference between justification and forgiveness? And what kind of bothers me a bit is, how can an ungodly person be justified?
Well, and the short answer is, there is a difference. These are two different doctrines, two different terms that the Spirit of God uses, and to teach us really the magnitude of the work of Christ. And justification really is to place us in a new legal standing before God. We have a new standing before God on a righteous basis, and it's God that justifies the sinner. We don't justify ourselves, and by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified, the scriptures say. And so it's a new standing before God. We're justified by God because of the work of Christ, and our sins are taken care of according to the righteousness and the holy standards of God. Forgiveness is a new position, a new viewpoint, you might say. We were guilty before God. We were sinners. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but by nature and by practice, we were sinners. We were guilty before God. And because of the work of Christ, because Christ died upon the cross of Calvary and bore the judgment for my sins on the cross in those three long dark hours, bore the strokes of judgment, and he said, "It is finished." Then he shed his blood, "The soul that sinneth it shall die." He died in my stead. I didn't know that, and it wasn't preached to me until I was saved that he died in my stead. He was my substitute, but he was my substitute. I learned that afterwards. And so God, on a righteous basis now, looks at me and he says, "I'm not guilty anymore." Not guilty, that's what it means. You're forgiven. So he's forgiven your sins, and he looks at you as not guilty because someone else paid the price. Might just illustrate it. There was a man that in Napoleon's time, and they would go to war, and the young men, if they had enough money and they were conscripted, they were drafted into the French army, they could pay another young man to go in their stead. And so this young man was wealthy. He was drafted into the army, and he said he paid some other poor young man to go in his stead. And so he had to serve his term, and if he survived his term, then he would be released and so on. Well, he died on the battlefield. And then the French government, the draft board, sent him another draft notice, the rich man, rich young man. He said, you can't do that. He says, I already served. The guy that I went out for me, he died. And no, they said, no, you have to come. So he appealed to Napoleon himself. The two men, one from the draft board and this fellow that was drafted, stood before the draft before Napoleon. And Napoleon heard the case. He says, you can't draft this man. He's dead. The guy that went in his stead is dead. He's free. He can never be drafted. He stands in a new position. And so he could never be drafted. And so, you know, God has delighted to give us peace with him, to know that we're justified before him. We have a new legal standing. We can never face him as a judge. It's impossible, because the Lord Jesus faced God as a judge. And he sees us as no longer guilty. And so, I mean, that's a simplified thought, explanation. Maybe someone else has other comment to make. I might just add, too, that when we were younger, we used to read the Bible dictionary, the Concise Bible Dictionary. There are some good definitions in the Concise Bible Dictionary. And Brother Bruce Anstey has written a little book, 350 pages, and he calls it Doctrinal Definitions. And so he goes through the definitions of these different doctrines of Christianity very thoroughly and in very simple language, with lots of scripture references. And so, isn't it marvelous? All these terms that the Spirit of God uses to tell us of the magnitude, the degree of accuracy that God has dealt with in completeness our sins and has brought us into as complete a blessing as is possible. And so all of these scriptural terms are very distinct, and they're given to us not just for our head knowledge, but to enjoy in our hearts. Can you imagine being forgiven but not knowing the heart of God? He said, you're forgiven. You'd never, ever feel comfortable, because you'd wonder, well, what's my position before him? I'm forgiven, but is he ever going to mention this before me again? Am I going to be called into a court of law again? And no, he says, you're justified. There's a new legal position that you have before him. You'll never face him as a judge. And his heart is now 100% for you.
Are we able to move on, Daryl? I feel like you've had the question answered.
No? Well, it's fine. That was a good answer.
Verse 15, we have faith and love. And faith in the Lord Jesus is closely tied to love of the saints. That is, love of one another. Love of one another as believers. Because if we say we have faith in the Lord and we ignore his top commandment, that's a contradiction. His top commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. And so faith in the Lord Jesus cannot be separated in any way from love for one another. It is also true that atmosphere of love amongst one another